Welcome back to KMBR Tonight. The show rolls on. Carrie Crowley, your host, here with you till 10 p.m. It's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, Mark DeLucchi. He covers the San Francisco 49ers for Niners Nation. Was watching last night's game closely. Mark, so much to get into tonight. We're also going to talk Golden State Warriors as well. So appreciate you joining me on this Monday evening.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, even though things could be going a bit better on the Bay Area sports front.
Yeah, I think so. I think that so many of us woke up today feeling a sense of frustration and maybe a bit of anger from some of the people that I've heard from about this 49ers quarterback situation. And at today's press conference, Kyle Shanahan doubling down with Trey Lance continuing to sit, Jimmy Garoppolo continuing to start. Maybe I'm wrong here, but the only explanation must be that they just don't trust Trey Lance's knee to respond the way it needs to get him ready to start against Chicago, because I don't understand the blind commitment to Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't either, right? And again, it seems like the Niners didn't, the way they handled this offseason, right? Like, that's the thing. Had they not made the trade up for Trey Lance, had they even taken a quarterback with the 12th overall pick, we still might not be here. But they're the ones who went all in. They're the ones who traded the 12th overall pick, two future first round picks, a future third round pick, all of that to move up because they needed a quarterback, because Garoppolo hasn't been good enough. And we sit here, Garoppolo coming off another bad performance, and this is a season littered with them. You know, it's he hasn't been good enough consistently, and yet they still stick by him. I agree with you. I think Lance's knee injury could be a part of it, but at the same time, Kyle Shanahan, his whole handling of this situation, and frankly, you know, personnel decisions throughout his career throughout his tenure with the 49ers, they've been erratic, they've been inconsistent, and they've been hard to get a read on. And so, you know, I think the best reading of it is they don't want to put pressure on Lance to return from his injury soon. There's no reason to put him at health risk, even if he is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo right now, given the state of the season. But I don't know, and this is, I think, at the heart of so many of the frustrations of so many people throughout this fan base, is it's a lack of trust, that they don't trust that Shanahan is doing it with good intent. They think there's something else going on, that either he doesn't have confidence in Lance, there's some tension between him and the front office, potentially around the pick that was originally made. I don't know, and I don't necessarily think that to be the case, but the problem is Shanahan has, frankly, built a fan base that doesn't trust him. And rightfully so. You know, this is year five, and, you know, whatever we want to say about he inherited a bad situation, this is going to be the third, you know, this is going to be, if you ignore the first couple of seasons, this would still be another losing season in a team that was supposed to and has the talent to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
And I think that some of the frustrations are the fact that, look, we all knew that when Kyle Shanahan came here, he was going to have a huge say, kind of be the leader in terms of personnel decisions. And look, it's not his strong suit, but the one thing you could always count on was that Shanahan's game plans would be dynamite, and he would out-scheme the opposing defense. And it just feels of late, and particularly last night against the Colts, Mark, that he went away from what was working. That first drive was brilliant. Elijah Mitchell felt like he could have touched the rock 30 times last night and had a career night. Still went over 100 yards, but you go back to that first drive, and it just feels like the 49ers got away from their strength.
Yeah, and even if you want to say Mitchell still got 20 carries, you know, he's a rookie, don't up-push him, Trey Sermon was there. Trey Sermon was available. He was the guy that Shanahan, you know, used draft capital, a third-round pick on. He rushes for 85 yards 2 days ago, or a couple weeks ago, and he doesn't even get no carries. He doesn't see the field for an offensive snap, right? Like, again, like, we can focus on all these individual things, and ultimately it always comes back to Shanahan, because he has final say on everything at the football level of this organization, whether it's player personnel, whether it's free agent signings, contract extensions, or it's who takes the field, what the play calls are, particularly on offense. The 49ers had four picks in the top three rounds in this year's draft. One of them was Trey Lance, who, of course, was injured. He was out yesterday. The other three, Ambry Thomas, Aaron Banks, and Sermon. None of them played a snap yesterday. Lance was the only one who was injured. Like, it's all of these problems have built upon themselves because Shanahan has been unable to acquire talent with his limitations on the personnel side, and now that's catching up to him because he's basically been relying on having to be so far ahead of the defense. It's like he should have the talent by now to be able to mess up a play call and for that still to result in something positive. Mm-hmm. But it seems like time and time again, the players are unable to outperform his play call. And again, is part of that on the players perhaps not being able to live up to certain expectations? Yes, but ultimately Shanahan's the person who has gone out of his way to acquire so many of these players. Shanahan's the person who seems to who is not giving Brandon Ayuk touches behind the line of scrimmage after he has a good rookie season. Like this all comes back to the top of the organization, and that's where Shanahan is, and I think that's where the source of so much of this frustration is.
And I think it would be one thing if the 49ers had issues on one side of the ball. If it was just offense mm-hmm. and they had an elite defense that was getting the job done, you could see a window where maybe this team could still contend for a playoff spot. But you're marrying a situation that is just bound to lead to frustration with a fan base, which is not necessarily a quarterback controversy right now. Although, yeah, it is a quarterback controversy yeah. with a situation on the defensive side of the ball where every time an opponent throws the ball deep, fans are now coming to expect a flag to be thrown because of pass interference. Like you mentioned, Ambry Thomas didn't play. Diamador Lenore inactive yesterday. At some point, I think the 49ers need to turn over the reins to their young defensive backs and see what they're made of, because if they're not ready for the moment now, when will they? When will they be?
Yeah. And actually, to tie this into the Lance Garoppolo discussion, this is the one thing that I'm uncertain about, because, you know, I don't have any disagreement with someone who says this is an instance of Shanahan, you know, wanting to redshirt Lance or having certain feelings about Garoppolo and Lance personally. But that's the thing. His attachment to veteran players at the expense of younger prospects and younger players has been consistent across the board. You point to it on the defensive backfield where Dre Kirkpatrick is a late game substitution because they have not just Thomas, but also, as you mentioned, Lenore as an unhealthy scratch. This is something that's been a constant throughout his tenure, where we see veterans, even ones on the back ends of their careers, are constantly taking snaps away from younger players. And is that sometimes because those players are giving the team a better chance to win? Perhaps. But from, you know, we're both very familiar with the Giants as well. This was something people used to talk about, you know, 15, 20 years ago when you had Felipe Alou and even the early part of Bruce Bochy's tenure, where it was so frustrating for fans because there were older players who were playing over younger guys, which was doing two things. One, it was limiting the opportunities the younger players had to develop. But there were a lot of fans who were saying, these older players aren't that good. Like, some of these younger players might actually be better than the older players right now. That's how I feel about Trey Lance. And again, the injury changes a bit, but, you know, I've been saying even back to the offseason, I was not convinced that Garoppolo was a better option than Lance going forward, because all of the things people talk to, and even Shanahan, that justify keeping Garoppolo a quarterback have nothing to do with what Garoppolo has actually done, and more to do with what the idea of Garoppolo is. He's a veteran. He knows the offense. He's not going to make mistakes. Jimmy Garoppolo has been one of the most turnover-prone quarterbacks in football since he stepped foot in 49ers uniform. Back to that first five-game winning streak when they first traded for him. He has always been turnover-prone. He is unable to generate big plays with his arm. He is unable to generate big plays with his legs. I don't get this infatuation with him. You know, again, to start the season and even now, and again, it's just you look at it and what is going to solve this situation? Because right now, all of these issues, whether it's Garoppolo, whether it's the secondary, they all come back to Shanahan. And again, it gets back to the issue of trust, is that all intents and purposes, it doesn't seem like Jed York's going to be willing to move on from Shanahan, whether or not there's a strong case for it. And if that's the case, 49ers fans are stuck with looking at the first few years of Trey Lance's career in Shanahan's hands, who now won't have a first-round pick the next 2 years to potentially add talent towards the top of the draft. And so I think that's what the frustration, that's what the despair in a lot of pockets of this fan base is coming from, because if this is a bad team right now, if this team finishes 7-10, if this team finishes 6-11, do you trust Kyle Shanahan to be able to dig them out of this hole over the next 2 years? I think there's a lot of legitimate reasons to question whether he can. Wow.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Wow, a lot of really good points there and really good perspective, as always, Mark. And one thing I appreciated was the comparison to the early Felipe Alou days and playing a 37-year-old outfielder ahead of a 24-year-old prospect. It's certainly a valid comparison, and I think that one that a lot of Bay Area sports fans who've been following these teams and these franchises for a long time can speak to and appreciate. And another franchise you're following closely right now, aside from working for Niners Nation, you're writing about the Golden State Warriors for Golden State of Mind, and very different set of circumstances with the Warriors. 3-0 after a victory over the Kings on Sunday evening. They fly to Oklahoma City for a game on Tuesday that's winnable. To you, what has been the key to this Warriors start where they've swept California, beaten the Lakers, beaten the Clippers, and now beaten the Kings?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was covering both the Niners and Warriors yesterday, so I had the two screens set up, and I was going back and forth, and it just struck me as I watched both of those games. The 49ers obviously get ahead early, get up, I think it was 12-0, but, you know, they score the early touchdown. It definitely got up 9-0 at the very least. They get the two early turnovers. They get the ball first. You know, they build that early lead. Everything's going in their favor, and yet I'm watching, and I think this game is far closer than it should be. Like, I don't feel confident in the 49ers' ability to hold on to this league. On the other side, you know, over in Sacramento, the Warriors were playing, and the Kings got off to an incredible start. Rookie Davion Mitchell, particularly off the bench, they were shooting 50% from the field the first three quarters, and especially in the first half, over 40% from three, and the Warriors get in a hole. The Kings are leading for most of the first three quarters, but particularly the first half. They get up close to double digits in the second quarter, and yet I never doubted I never felt like the Warriors were out of it. It never felt like the game was out of their control. And I think that is emblematic of really what has sort of become the contrast between these two teams early in the season. Covering them is, you know, it feels like the 49ers are constantly finding new ways to lose. And the Warriors are finally back discovering unique ways to win, right? Like, things haven't gone perfectly for the Warriors in multiple of these games, right? Their first game of the season against the Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are making everything, especially even their jump shots are falling. That seems like an unstoppable combination. Steph Curry isn't connecting from deep. His threes aren't falling. Jordan Poole's great preseason isn't really carrying over early. Like, yesterday against the Kings, Curry again had a poor shooting night. But everything, just the depth of this roster, there's a synergy there. Everything is connected and plays off each other. And whether it's been, you know, offseason acquisitions like Nemanja Bjelica or Andre Iguodala, who've each had their moments through these first three games, whether it's Jordan Poole, who had 22 points yesterday, or Andrew Wiggins finally breaking out of his stump for a big 17 points and a big late three. Gary Payton Jr., the 15th person on the roster, getting some minutes with Iguodala out yesterday. He makes two threes early in the fourth quarter. It's just, there's a comfort, there's a confidence, and there's a calm around this Warriors team that really we haven't seen. Even last year when they finished 38-33, you know, obviously should have made the playoffs had they pulled off one win out of the play-in game scenarios. But nonetheless, it was a story last season where Stephen Curry defined it, right? If Stephen Curry didn't play great, they were probably going to lose. Stephen Curry, however great he was, that was going to be the story of every game for the Warriors. And this year that hasn't been the case. He's had one great game against the Clippers and two fairly mediocre pedestrian performances for what Curry is capable of. But the rest of the roster is feeding off him so well, is built and ultimately thriving in Steve Kerr's system that has earned him a lot of criticism over the last couple of years. You know, there was questions about, was Kerr not adapting to the talent around him? Well, this offseason, they found a roster, they built better around what Kerr hopes to do, what accentuates Curry's abilities, and we're seeing that pay huge dividends early.
One more for you, Mark, before we let you go. And for so long, the Warriors build themselves as strength in numbers because it was more than just Steph, Clay, and Draymond. It was the supporting cast off the bench, going back to the days of like Maurice Spates coming off and drilling jump shots at the top of the key. For the first time, and I know it's early, it's just three games, but I really do get the sense that this could be a strength in numbers type team because there are games where maybe Bielitsa doesn't give you a lot off the bench, or maybe Otto Porter doesn't give you a lot. But like you mentioned, Gary Payton came through yesterday. There's situations where if two or three of your bench guys, Damian Lee being one of them, come through, you don't need the entire roster to be great on any given night. You just need six, seven, eight guys to play well. And it feels like the Warriors can consistently get that with this group.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Lee. Frankly, he's been the best option off the bench for them. He's been their best role player through these first three games, played in all three, double figures, I think, in all three, if not two out of the three, and just been really key with big buckets when, you know, the Lakers and Kings especially, there were multiple times where they were going on runs and, you know, getting that lead higher, and Damian Lee was someone who's been key in that. I completely agree, and I think it comes back to two things. One, they finally built a roster around Steph Curry that has perimeter shooting. Like, that's been something that I think has been a fair critique of this team, even going back to the late dynastic run when Kevin Durant was still in Golden State. If you looked at the roster outside of Steph, Clay, and Durant, there wasn't really a lot of shooting there, and that's why in the 2019 playoffs when Durant and Clay get hurt, you look and Steph Curry surrounded by absolutely no one who's a perimeter threat, and the Raptors end up, you know, just going to kind of a box and one situation, and the Warriors offense really crumbles. You know, this season's different. They have seven, eight players when Clay returns who are legitimate above average NBA shooters, mm-hmm. who teams are going to be afraid to leave open from behind the arc. And when you take into account all of the passing, right, that this roster has, whether it's Draymond Green, whether it's Curry, whether it's, you know, Bielitsa, frankly, Iguodala, two players who, you know, have a better ability, I think, to, you know, handle a bit more than other role players the Warriors have had recently. It's the ability to plug and replace. Like, there are roles on this Warriors team, and everyone knows what their role is supposed to be, and they're fitting into it well, and so far in the season, they're executing. And if one player isn't executing, there's another one behind them who has a similar skill set who they're willing to replace. And we haven't even talked about, because ultimately they haven't been asked to do a lot, the three big lottery picks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Moses Moody's played a bit. Jonathan Kuminga and James Wiseman are both hurt. But none of them have had high expectations. And it, again, to sort of wrap this with a contrast to the 49ers with what they're doing on the other side of the Bay, well, they aren't asking a lot of their rookies either. But the issue is the veterans they acquired, the other players they've entrusted with the roles to justify keeping Trey Lance on the bench, to justify even Aaron Banks or Ambry Thomas. They want to develop. They want to take them slowly. But if you're going to do that, you have to be absolutely positive that you have veteran depth above those young players to justify keeping them off the bench. And through three games, we've seen the Warriors have multiple options at these spots, whether it's the post, whether it's the guards, whether it's the wings, to justify bringing these young players along slowly. And the problem for the 49ers is those veterans haven't played well. They haven't meshed well. They haven't seemed to find a comfort in their role. There isn't a calm or a confidence when they're on the field. It feels like a constant sense of panic. And if that's what you're getting from your veteran players, if playing to win, if putting all the chips on the table, and you're sitting at this point in the season where the 49ers are, why not? You need to hand it over to the rookies. You need to hand it over to the young players and give them the chance to play through the shortcomings, play through the failures, because the veterans haven't earned that playing time.
I'm right there with you. I'm pounding the table for Trey Lance and just as much to see Aaron Banks, Ambry Thomas, and the rest of them. Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Great perspective, as always, on both the Niners and the Warriors, and we will continue to read you both at Niners Nation and with Golden State of Mind. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. He is Mark DeLucchi, and we will continue more coming up next. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.